Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So in this episode, there is a situation towards the end or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there's no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation. I'm so glad to see you all. Welcome to another great interview of season three. I'm here with Summon Luke and we've been talking a little bit back and forth about this amazing interview, so I'm just glad to have you with us. And happy Sunday. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, I've been following you for a while. For a while. I think we've known each other for a couple months, maybe a year or so. We've been just going back and forth, so this is pretty exciting, and I'm glad that we finally found the time.
Me too. Yeah, and same. I've been listening to your podcast ever since I first heard about you guys, and I've found some musicians listening to it and gathered some knowledge about, the music industry that we live in now, promotion tips, stuff like that. It's a great podcast. So I appreciate everything you do, and I'm excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you a lot. All right, let's jump into it. So let's talk about your band, first of all, playing Two Vapors. How's that going with the band? Any updates, anything going on? Like, what's up?
Right now, playing the Vapors is writing new songs and rehearsing them and trying to get sort of a new batch of material ready before we start performing regularly again and before we start going back into the studio and recording anything again. We kind of, when the pandemic happened, we kind of took a brief hiatus there, I guess you could say. We were still getting together and hanging out as friends, and every once in a while we practice, but I would say that when that happened, we kind of took a step back a little bit. And I think we performed one of those live stream shows that all the bands were doing around that time. But in general, that kind of slowed our process of playing out live and recording and writing. And it hasn't been until recently that we've sort of gotten back into rehearsing regularly, writing regularly, and we've got some new material that we're working on, and we're excited to keep writing and keep recording and keep performing. We're all like the best of friends, so it's just I'm happy to be with those guys, and it's great.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm excited for all your new works. I'm gonna try to listen to your music a lot more. I want to be true, finally listen to one or two songs because I've always listened to music. So I'm definitely looking forward to all your new works. And actually, I want to kind of get into your band a little more because y'all look so happy. Even in the photo you guys have on Spotify, like y'all are so cheery and happy. And I just wanna kind of ask about it. I kind of want to paint your head a little bit about the beginnings of the band and y'all style of music. I kind of want to get into the background of playing to Vapors.
So everyone that's in that, I assume you're probably looking at the Spotify picture that we have of us like huddled
Absolutely.
around, and we're all yeah. So the everyone that's in that picture, that's sort of like those are the original members, and there's been a couple of people that's cycled in and out, but that core group, like we've known each other since high school, and been playing music together since then. We've been through like 3 or 4 different band names. We landed on the band name Playing the Vapors. I don't know if I remember the exact time when we actually landed on that band name. But yeah, we've been playing music together for 16, 17 years now. And we, like I said, we're the best of friends. We all came together based on our love of the band Muse. We were all like, you listen to Muse? You listen to Muse? Well,
I don't know.
We're a band together. And yeah, it was like the kind of an, they were underground at the time. Like not everybody knew who Muse was like they do now. And so it was kind of a cool thing that we all knew that band and we all liked them. And we've made 2 EPs together. Our first EP, Identities, was our guitarist, Darren DeSabato's, his college, his final for his audio engineering class in college. And then we had another EP called A Glitch in a Void. And we did that all ourselves. We built sort of a makeshift studio in our practice space. I think we recorded the drums in a few different locations, and our guitarist, he mixed all of it and mastered all of it. And then our full-length album, Shred the Master Design, that one we went to Athens, Ohio, and we recorded with a professor, Josh Antonuccio, out there in his studio, 3 Elliott. And that one came out, I think, in 2015 or 2016. And yeah, I think that's the brief history. I mean, there's other like little pockets. Like we, at one point, probably the biggest show that we ever played, we were a part of the Bunbury Music Festival in Cincinnati for one show there. And that was when the Black Keys were the headliners, as well as the Avett Brothers. And yeah, it's been a wild ride with those guys. And the whole like reason why I do this solo stuff with Summon Luke, and previously before that I just went under the moniker Lucas, is generally the deal with Playing the Vapors is it's a very democratic process, very much like all of our bands, all of our baby, and like not one person has the full like authority to do whatever they want at any given moment. It's kind of like if anybody watched the Beatles Get Back documentary, how I feel like the Beatles were operating, where, you know, maybe George had a song, but not everybody was on board, or Paul had a song and not everybody was on board, so they just wouldn't do it. And we have some of those songs like that in Playing the Vapors, and that are mine. And I've just got like tons of songs in my backlog. So I use Summon Luke and the solo projects as sort of an outlet for overflow, that for songs that maybe we don't have time to do in Playing the Vapors, or songs that maybe don't quite fit the mold of what we're going for, I'll do those as the solo projects. Like Hotel Underwater is a perfect example. Like we probably wouldn't do that in Playing the Vapors, because Playing the Vapors is very streamlined. Like we have this like driving alt rock, almost progressive, mathy kind of vibe. And if I write like a folk song like Hotel Underwater, there's a very good chance we're probably not going to do that in Playing the Vapors. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but that's kind of where the solo stuff fits in, I would say.
Oh. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, and I'm glad you compared it with the Beatles. So that kind of made more sense. But actually, I kind of like the solo works from you. So overall, you're pretty happy and satisfied with your solo career, but versus the band per se.
Yeah, and I think. I would hope that everybody in the band feels the same way, because, you know, our guitarist, Mike Stokes, he's got a couple side projects that he works in. As far as I know, Darren and Josiah, the drummer and the other guitarist, the guitarist that I mentioned earlier, who produced and mixed the first two EPs. I don't know that they've been in side projects. I think maybe Josiah joined one briefly, but I feel like I always try to make a point to support those, and I think that we all do a good job of supporting each other in our ventures, and you know, don't let any weirdness get in the way of that stuff. So I think that we're all pretty happy with how things are, and we're good at communicating with each other. And I feel like I sound like a broken record, but yeah, like I said, we're all like best of friends, and we just love making music together. So, and yeah, I'm super happy with the way the solo stuff is panning out. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better about how to, like, what it is exactly. Like I mentioned before, that Playing to Vapors has a very streamlined brand, and I feel like we all know what Playing to Vapors is. And maybe some in Luke, in its inception, I didn't have quite a perfectly clear concept of what it is. And as it's been going, kind of figuring out more and more exactly what it is and how to portray it in the best way. So I'm excited for the future with Summon Luke, and I feel like it's coming together well. I'm excited about it.
I'm so glad, and I'm so happy that you found your solo sound and that you're happy with it. I'm very glad, and I am so excited for all the future things that are gonna happen with your solo projects and everything. And earlier you mentioned Lucas, and I just wanted to also ask, since you were under the moniker, what's your favorite song that you made under that moniker?
Yeah, so when I was just going by Lucas, I would just release stuff on Bandcamp, basically. And it was kind of just the outlet that I was describing before, where I would have these songs that would just fill up. I had like a giant backlog of material that we were unable to get to in Playing to Vapors for whatever reason. And if I had to pick a favorite from all of that, I really think the song on the latest thing that I did under the moniker Lucas, it was called Foolish Children, was the name of the EP. And there was a song on there called Brothers Goodbyes. I really think that one turned out well. There's a, we got a trumpet player to come in and do some session work on that one. And we recorded a sort of an upright piano that's like slightly out of tune, and it really caters well to the song, I think. We tuned the bass. I mean, it's a really like slow kind of ballad, brooding song. And we tuned the bass down, I think, to like C sharp or something. Very like low. But it sounds great, I think, and it's super cool. But I think that song turned out really well. And for that, I was doing it at this music school that's in Columbus, Ohio, called Groove U, with some students there. And I still am in touch with both of those students. So there's a Sam Gwynn, who goes by The Secret, which you might actually like his music a lot, because it's kind of, it's a little bit more like a DJ style music, EDM-esque, but it's very experimental, very out there, and sort of like, what's the word, like trip hop, I guess, maybe like Portishead or that kind of vibe. He's pretty crazy, but yeah, he goes by The Secret. And then there's the mixing engineer on that was named Katie Dotson, and she has a ton of music that she writes, and she goes by Friend, and most recently she has a band called Clementine Park. Very cool stuff. And but yeah, that's, long story short, Brothers Goodbyes, that's probably the one that I think turned out the best from when I was Lucas. And I'll say one more thing about that. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'll just say one more thing about that. Another thing, like, as far as future plans with Summon Luke, I have considered maybe re-releasing that old stuff that I did as Lucas under Summon Luke, and maybe finding a way to make that work. That way it's on more than just Bandcamp. Because, yeah, right now it's just kind of sitting in the cold recesses of Bandcamp, and nobody can really find it. So maybe in the future, especially if people are asking for it, like, I'll find a way to put it on Spotify or YouTube or other platforms, and maybe switch the name from Lucas to Summon Luke so it's a little less confusing.
You should, as you should. I mean, people are doing it nowadays. People like older stuff, and they're liking it, and they're having fun with it. So you should definitely do it in the future. Definitely.
Absolutely. That something I really struggle with in general is the branding and doing things that make sense from like a promotion marketing standpoint. And it's not just that I struggle with it, it's that I second guess myself about stuff like that all the time. It's like, should I re-release old stuff from Lucas? Like, I go through that process 1,000 times in my head. What would it look like if I re-released it? Would people just be like totally confused? Like, are these new songs? Are these old songs? Like, what are these? Like, why would you re-release these? Maybe I'm just going to drop them and like five people are going to listen to them and then move on with their lives. You know, I just like second guess myself about that stuff all the time. But yeah, you're right. I should just do it. I should just go for it.
Yeah, why definitely. Not? And it presents a bigger catalog, since these are songs that people don't really know. It presents a bigger catalog for you, and it presents a bigger widespread of songs and genres and sounds for you. So it's really good for your career too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've only got 6 songs right now under Summon Luke, and I've been releasing singles and I do the single with the B-side. So I've always been a big fan of B-sides, but even with that, it still feels like I have such a small music catalog with Summon Luke, and it's interesting. That's kind of the norm now, at least from what I see. A lot of my peers in Columbus, they're doing things the same way, where they'll release just a single, they'll wait like a month or two, release another single, wait a month or two, release another single. And it's like their Spotify's, it's like there's a lot of releases, but not a ton of music. And it's really interesting how that's panning out these days. I think it's the move, because I don't know how, if you have the same experience or if other guests have had the same experience, but a lot of times if you release a full-length album or a lengthy EP or something like that, what ends up happening is most of your audience will listen to the first few tracks or the one that you promoted the heaviest, and then it kind of sputters out as you go down the album. It's like maybe they'll stop listening after song 2 or 3 or worst case 1. So I think there's like it's like that constant battle for your attention. I think it's a similar thing to, and I'm kind of rambling now, but I heard a quote from, I think it was the CEO of Netflix, that their biggest competitor is YouTube and PlayStation or something, because they're just like, it's not like their biggest competitor is HBO or Hulu or another streaming platform. It's like a totally different industry. And it's because we're all battling for people's attention these days. And people only have so much attention that they give. If you drop a full-length album that's like 40 minutes long, is anybody going to listen to that full 40-minute album anymore? They only listen to like singles or like brief snippets on TikTok or something. It's a struggle these days.
Yeah, for sure. And that makes a lot of sense, considering that a lot of albums lately has been like less than 15 songs. I mean, the recent ones so far, like examples in the pop industry, a lot of albums lately has been like less than 20 songs. A lot of them are like 12 songs, 8 songs. 13, 16. Like, they don't make them as long, you know, as they used to.
Yeah. And actually, so that's interesting you bring that up, because the first song that I released under the Summon Luke is a song called Feed the Hungry Hounds. And I deliberately made it feel like it was kind of taking its time and not rushing into where the vocals come in. And it's a longer song with very lengthy moments in it. And I did this deliberately because I want, like, a lot of things that we talk about in Playing to Vapor is when we're writing songs. And we talk about, like, you know, is this part too long? Like, are we getting to the chorus quick enough? Does it take too long for the lyrics to come in? Like, is this part getting boring? Stuff like that. And I think I get like exhausted by those conversations, and I get like, I like having moments in songs that are able to breathe and are able to just have like a life of their own, I guess. I don't know if that makes any sense, but with Summon Luke, I just like the freedom of being able to allow a moment to happen and just let it breathe and let it be exactly what it needs to be, and not have like second guessing of like, are we letting this part of the song like last too long, and we need to come in with a vocal part or like a different part or something. Are people gonna get bored when they listen to this part?
Yeah,
and that's kind of where I started the Summon Loop project.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I should know. I've had my history of rambling guest, so I totally get it.
Yeah, sorry about that. And my cat's playing with this toy right now, and it's kind of distracting me. Are you able to hear that in the background?
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay, good. Sorry if I seemed a little bit distracted during that last answer.
No worries.
But yeah, I do tend to ramble when I talk about these
things. Which I'm pretty okay with. I have my experiences with it, so I'm pretty used to it. It's kind of like the norm for me. But anyway, glad you shared that with us. I got to know a little bit about Lucas. I'm excited to see a lot of the music from that catalog, and excited for you to make more. So here's something I didn't know that you did. I didn't know that you made music videos. And that's something that's very huge, because not a lot of artists can do music videos, because there's so much you have to do in a music video, you know, budgeting and video, like getting the right equipment, getting the right location, getting the right people, like oh my god, with the music videos. So I kind of want to get into, you know, the creative processes with the videos themselves. Like how does those get put together, and what's been your history of the videos, and what's your favorite?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another important thing with Summon Loop that I wanted to do, was I wanted to give every single song that I release with Summon Luke a fighting chance to actually be something, to get out there and for people to hear and decide for themselves if they like the song or not. And I thought that a very important part of that was having some kind of visual element. And most of the time that's a music video. So the goal for me is for every single song that I release as Summon Luke, I do some kind of music video or lyric video or live video. And so far, I have one for every single song except for Feed the Hungry Hounds and Hotel Underwater. I have those, but I haven't released them yet. And it has been very challenging. It does require like some budgeting and finding people who are going to, I think, do a good job. And also, like, you have to think what is the music video of this going to be? Because the first thing that if you find somebody to do a music video that they're going to ask you is like, okay, what are we going to do for the music video? What are your ideas? What is this song about? And I think that it's very challenging as a songwriter to be able to do that, because a lot of times you're writing in the abstract. You don't have like a super clear vision of a place or a person or a character in mind when you're writing a song. I mean, sometimes you do if it's like a story song and there's a literal visual element that you can connect. Like if you're writing about a Cadillac, obviously you could have a Cadillac in the music video. But if it's like an abstract message that you're writing about, then maybe it's not going to be as easy to just do a one-to-one. Okay, there's a Cadillac in the song, so put a Cadillac in the music video. So it's very challenging. And I have found... like for the song I did Running Mad and the B-side for that, I found a guy who put together sort of just clips from various videos he found on the internet. And I told him sort of a space vaporwave vibe and like images of different like planetary aspects. And I think those turned out really well. And then for the most recent release I did, it was much more of a one-to-one, sort of like I was talking about before. So the song was called Jellyfish Girl. And the song was inspired directly from a quest that you do in this game called Elden Ring. Have you heard of Elden Ring before? I would have...
Not a lot I've heard though.
Okay, well it was an RPG that came out this year, and it came out on like all platforms. It was pretty popular, and there's a quest towards the beginning of the game that you do, and I basically wrote a song that's almost a one-to-one of all the actions that you do in that quest. And that was the music video for it. I just basically took the footage from the game of doing that quest and pieced it together in sort of a creative way. And I actually did that one myself. And I think that one turned out really well. So it's just been a challenge of figuring out what the music video is going to be and then finding a person who I think can deliver on that. And so far, I think it's going well. I think I'm getting better at it too. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with it.
I love your take on the videos though. And I do love Jellyfish Girl actually. I like the visuals for it. It's really cool and it's really out there. Like I don't really see a lot of things like it, but to be honest, not a lot of my guests do music videos. So it was nice to get a fresh look at the video, so props to that.
Thanks. Yeah, and another thing about the music video aspect is my feeling is, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like YouTube, as far as the social medias go, that's the one that has the most staying power. Like, I've seen other social medias sort of come and go. Like, I feel like Facebook is sort of on the way out, sort of. At least for musicians, I feel like it is. And then Instagram right now is still pretty popular, but I get the sense that maybe it's not going to last too much longer. And probably TikTok will be the same way. I mean, who knows? But I feel like YouTube is the one that is going to for sure last for the near-term future, like as longer than most social media. So that's why I really wanted to have a presence there, if at all possible. Like you said, it's kind of difficult these days for musicians to make music videos and to have any kind of presence on YouTube just because of the way the algorithms work there. But definitely want to give it a shot and try to have a presence there. And because I feel like that's the one that has the most staying power.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I feel like if we were to rank the social medias, I mean, what would really be on top? Because I feel like I don't know what if we were to rank like the medias and how much of the musicians use it. I mean, what would be your number one?
Well, right now it kind of feels like TikTok is where most of the musicians are. And I don't, but the thing is, I don't know that that's going to be long term. Like, I think right now a lot of musicians are there. And I think Instagram is probably a close second, if not Instagram is first. It's one of those two, I think. Most musicians I find are either on TikTok or they're on Instagram. And that's what people talk to me about at like shows and open mics and stuff. They're talking about TikTok and Instagram. And then probably Facebook is in there somewhere, distant third. And I mean, YouTube, yeah, I don't see a lot of musicians these days talking or promoting their YouTube channels for whatever reason. But that doesn't mean that YouTube isn't the king of the social medias, because I do think it probably is. Again, though, that's my opinion. But what do you think? Do you think that do you have the same vibe that TikTok,
Instagram
are the one and
absolutely.
Two?
Absolutely. I always get like news things about like these random hits like blowing up on TikTok. But honestly, it's not long term. I mean, I've seen it. It's not long term. People do it just to get like a nice little hit or a nice little boost up. I don't really feel like it's long term, and even if people wanted it to be long term, I really don't think it's a good idea to be long term, because it's really meant to have a boost, not to have a build up of your career. Like, I feel like it's a boost. It just gives a few extra, you know, zing or a few extra, you know, energy per se. To your song, and it's not meant to be long term. I've seen people blow up on TikTok and then a week later they're not. So that's kind of my take on it, and that's just what I've seen from what my experience has been, because I'm not on TikTok as much as I you know, at least want to, my friends want to, but from the hits I've seen, they've only lasted about a week or about a month, a couple months.
Yeah, I totally agree. The other thing I would say about TikTok that I'm reluctant to join is from the musicians that I've seen on TikTok, it tends to have the vibe that it's not taking itself very seriously, that it's like kind of a jokey, like viral video kind of vibe. And not that there's anything like wrong with that. I do kind of feel like even Jellyfish Girl maybe teeters on that edge of, is it kind of a viral video, jokey vibe? And I don't want to take myself too seriously, but I do think TikTok is very much in that camp where they're making videos that are kind of jokey, they have like this story element. Like the one that I remember from TikTok was a guy, he was taking conversations from text messages and making them into songs. And he went super viral. Like, he had that song that was like, I just need butter. I don't know if you've seen TikTok. Or recently there was there was like a rap song that was on there that was like,
my
money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds.
Bro, don't get me started. Yeah. Shit, don't.
And like, yeah. But that's the kind of stuff that you see on TikTok explode and get huge notoriety, which I love that stuff, but that's not what I think I want Summon Luke to be. And maybe there's other sides of TikTok that I don't see that delve into the more serious alternative rock indie kind of vibe. But I think Instagram and YouTube, you're able to show your brand a little bit more clearly.
Yes. I don't have to back up from that. Like, that's 100%. I mean, TikTok is hard to make a serious brand. I mean, and it feels like it's taking a few elements from Instagram. Because when I was making TikTok for the first time, the sign-up process was very similar to Instagram. But honestly, in my opinion, I will always stick to Instagram, and I will always stick to those originals, because Instagram, you can do so much on. I mean, it's unbelievable that you can do so much. And it's so business forward. TikTok isn't really, like, they have business, but it's not as strong and vibrant as Instagram is. So, just for people around, just, like, just, you know, to know, and I'm sure you can agree or not, but that's just at least my take. If I would use it as a full-on thing, even for my podcast, if I was to ever expand and use it, like, I would still stick to Instagram for it, so, yeah.
Definitely. I think I'm on the same page with that. I agree.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So, I actually want to kind of get into the process of your music, because recently you did release an A-B side singles, Jellyfish Girl and Hotel Underwater, and a bunch of other singles that you have made in the past. And I kind of want to, because your projects kind of vary. Like, you have a kind of universal sounds, per se. So I kind of want to get into the processes with the songs. And really, if you want to talk for the processes and production and the songwriting of playing to Vapor, excuse me, or Lucas, that's perfectly fine with me. I kind of want to get into, you know, the songwriting, the recording, and production of those projects and such, because I'm very curious to know your intake.
Yeah, well, it varies greatly from song to song. And I'll just kind of walk through what happened with the song Jellyfish Girl, because that's my favorite way for songs to come together, is how that song came together, because it actually started with the title Jellyfish Girl, which a lot of musicians that I run into, they don't start that way. But in my opinion, that's my favorite way to start, is if you have the title of the song and then you kind of work backwards from that. So as I said, the song was inspired by the video game Elden Ring. I would play that game with friends, and we ran into this quest with a character who gives you this summon that's a jellyfish. And right then, she was Jellyfish Girl. And we would refer to her as Jellyfish Girl. And then I think I made some comment that it sounds like a Flaming Lips song, Jellyfish Girl. And my friends were, they were like, yeah, I would listen to Jellyfish Girl. That sounds like an awesome song. And I think somebody said that it sounded like a punk song. Like, we were just kind of riffing on how that did sound like something that should exist. So I kind of sat with that for a while. And what would a song called Jellyfish Girl B. Well, if you have a thing for a jellyfish girl, people probably wouldn't really understand what's going on there. I mean, how could they understand what's going on with a jellyfish girl? And that was kind of where I got the lines for the song. Like, they don't understand what we have. How could they understand? It's like you're in a relationship with a jellyfish girl, basically. So I kind of just kept working backwards from that. And then I looked up, like, I remembered what the quest for this jellyfish girl was in the game, and kind of worked off of what the actual quest was, tried to make the main beats of the quest work in the song. Because I liked the idea of it being a literal story of, like, how you do this quest in the game against the title of the song, Jellyfish Girl. And it just kind of worked out that way, and the melody followed from the lyrics, which, again, that's not typical of what I hear from musicians. Usually they follow a different process where they'll kind of jam for a while, find a progression or a melody that they like, and then from there they write the lyrics. And maybe the last part that they do is write the title, which is very difficult to do because it puts a lot of pressure on the last moments of writing the song. It's like, oh man, I have to write a really cool, catchy chorus with a great title. and you've already written this like progression that you like. So it puts a lot of pressure on the back half. But the reason why I love having the title first is then it's like everything kind of follows naturally. And what ends up happening is like the last part that you write is the verse. And the most important parts are written first, like that chorus and the title and the hook of everything is written first. And you kind of can just fill in the verse as opposed to you have a cool verse and now you have to write this amazing chorus that's going to amplify the verse in a way. It puts a lot of pressure on you as a songwriter. You're like, oh man, I have to write yeah. the cool part of the song. You know what I'm saying? So, and I've done both in the past, and I much prefer having the title first and writing the chorus first and then being able to just uh-huh. kind of fill in the verse. So that was a long-winded answer. And that's just one song. That was the process of how I wrote Jellyfish Girl. But as I said, it varies greatly, and it varies between bands. Like you mentioned, the writing process in Playing to Vapors. In Playing to Vapors, it's a lot more of a democratic process. So we kind of all put in our two cents for what we think the song is, what it should be, where it should go. We might have different parts from three different members, and we have to sort of piece them together in a creative way. And maybe even sometimes we have to discard parts that we don't like as a band. And that can get hairy and a little bit emotional sometimes. So there's different writing processes that I've followed in the past, and it varies greatly between song to song.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That was a lot just for Jellyfish Girl, so that makes a lot of sense. I totally get you 100%. And that's great that it varies, so that, you know, nobody expects anything. Like, it's a nice surprise when you put the song out, when people ask about it, you can have, like, a different story for each one.
Definitely. And I love that part of it, of the story of how a song was written. And I always have theories when I hear a song that I like. I'll kind of have these sort of like fantasies of how I thought the artist wrote the song piece by piece. If they were inspired by another artist's song, or if they saw something that made them think of something and that sparked the curiosity and the inspiration for the song. I don't know if anyone else does that, but when I listen to some songs that I really like, I'll often think, how did they come up with this song, as I'm listening to it, and kind of imagine what that process was like. Like, for example, I was just talking to a friend of mine about this, the Killers' Mr. Brightside. And I like, when I listen to that song, I don't know if it's true or not. I haven't looked up how they wrote the song Mr. Brightside, but I get the feeling that they were listening to a lot of David Bowie. Or if they weren't listening to David Bowie, I feel like they were subconsciously inspired by the song Queen Bitch by David Bowie. And there's a specific line in that song that's like almost a parallel of the line in Mr. Brightside.
Nice comparison. I love Bowie. I love that song, bro. You're going to get me to listen to the song again. Oh, huh? You go. Damn, I love that song. But yes, that one, yeah.
Which song, Queen Bitch or Mr. Brightside? Or both?
I'm from the South, and when we and I've heard that song a billion times. I just haven't heard it in a long time. Nobody's talked about it in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, David Bowie, he's pretty amazing. Apparently, there's a documentary that just came out about David Bowie, and someone was telling me that I should watch it. Yeah, I probably will.
Really?
I'm a huge Bowie fan. Bowie was my first concert. Yeah. Yeah, I saw him in Cleveland he came out with an album called Reality, and I saw him for that tour.
What a nice first concert.
Yeah, it was amazing. I know, I'm so proud of that being my first concert. Other people are like, yeah, my first concert was like Smash Mouth or something, or like some like 90s pop punk band or something. That it's really funny. Not that there's anything wrong with Smash Mouth. I think they get a bad rap. But their first album is pretty good. As far as especially as far as pop albums go.
For sure, for sure. Pretty catchy. They're underrated though. Like, I mean, come on, give them a listen.
Yeah. Hear that, everybody? Give Smash Mouth a chance.
Exactly.
Give them a listen.
For real.
Why not?
Glad you agree. But speaking of concerts and performing, I want to know your plans for performing live. Are you doing any more concerts in the future? Anything going on? Anything going on?
Yes. So in the past, for Summon Luke, I've just performed by myself. But what I am trying to do in the future is I have a group of guys that I've been recording with, and we've been rehearsing. We're trying to do a actual full band show coming up in the future. And we still haven't lined up where we're doing it or when we're doing it, but I've been, you know, trying to contact venues and actually put together a full band live show that's going to be Summon Luke stuff. And I'm really excited about it. I've got Mike Stokes, who is also in Playing the Vapors. And I've got Ethan Benton from a band called Friends with Elephants, which you should ask him to be on the show too, because they're phenomenal. And I've got Steven Bustos on drums. He's from another Columbus band called Mystic Mamba, and he's a fantastic drummer. So I'm really excited to be doing shows with them, and hopefully we'll book some stuff.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll book some stuff where you are too.
Keep me updated. Who knows? Love to help out. I would love to all over. If I ever do a concert and all that, look, keep me in the open, keep me in the circle. I would love to hear more about the concert and all, and I'd be open to help or aid if you guys need anything.
Definitely. And I don't know if I said that before, actually, but yeah, I'm actually located in Columbus, Ohio, so that's where Playing the Vapors is from, that's where Summon Luke is from, so I don't know if the audience, if there's anyone in the audience from Columbus, Ohio, but that's where
nice.
We play, that's where we record.
Yeah, you've mentioned it a few times, but yeah. See how I did feel? I said it a few times sarcastically. but regardless, shout out to anybody that's in Columbus. I need to go visit Ohio. I have been so I've been against Ohio, not because of any reason. I didn't know about it until years ago, and I just never got myself to go visit. But that's one of the places I will, in fact, go and visit when I do a tour or something later on in the future. Who knows?
You should. I think that the music scene here is a little underrated. I don't think that it's like the greatest music scene in the country by any stretch, but we have good venues here. We've got really talented musicians, and there's a community in several different genres that I can think of. Rap, for sure, there's a community of four in Ohio. There's a good community for rock, which that's kind of where I live, is in that that sort of sect of musicians. And then there's also a pretty good metal scene for any metal bands out there. Columbus, Ohio is great for metal. And that's pretty much all I know. I'm sure there's other, I think there's also some EDM stuff going on in Columbus, but the ones I see pretty frequently, we have a pretty good rap scene, pretty good indie rock. And because we have, for indie rock, we have a radio station here that's specifically designed for indie rock, and they play a lot of the local bands in Columbus on the station, and it's really cool. It's great promotion for any local bands in Columbus, Ohio, and it's really helped us build a good music scene here. It's called CD92.9.
Wow, I gotta meet up with them soon. Get me connected. I would love to meet them sometime.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know that I have like a direct connect, but I think they have all their contacts listed on their website, and you could probably follow them on Instagram. And they, I know there's a guy, his name's Tom Butler, who's pretty vocal, and he's pretty good at responding to musicians and people who are in the music scene. So if you wanted to reach out to somebody, that's probably who I would put you in touch with. But I don't have like a direct contact with him.
We should hit up them sometime in the future. But anyway, another great accomplishment you made, and I'm very proud that you did this. You did music for a movie actually, called Moon Garden. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, it's super cool. So my brother is a editor, director, cinematographer in Los Angeles. He went to USC. He's been doing it for, you know, well over a decade, making movies. And he had a passion project that started out of his garage, basically, where he was building these crazy sets, and he would have his daughter sort of just crawl, walk through them, and, you know, interact with these environments. It's kind of how it started, and it built into this much bigger, full-blown feature production. And it's a movie called Moon Garden, and the premise of the movie is it's sort of like an industrial, he calls it an industrial Alice in Wonderland, where a girl goes into a coma. She falls down a flight of stairs and she gets put into a coma, and she goes into this fantasy world where she has to find her way out. And I was able to do music cues for three different scenes in the movie. And I have one song that sort of plays throughout the movie. And we got to screen it in several festivals around the globe. I actually went to Manchester, England for one of the screenings we did. I went to Los Angeles, and it was played at the Chinese Theater there, which is the famous theater with the hands in front of it. We played in Richmond, Virginia. I saw it there. We just played at the Gateway, which is the big independent theater here in Columbus, Ohio. And it did get picked up for distribution by a company called Oscilloscope. And so hopefully it's going to get a theatrical release. Hopefully it'll get a theatrical release wherever you are and you can go see it. But I'm not super clear on how all that works, how movies get theatrical releases in different cities, but I know it's going to be played in Los Angeles, California, and probably New York City. And I'm hoping it comes to Columbus, Ohio. Eventually it's going to land on streaming platforms, and I'll definitely be posting about it on my Instagram and all my social medias. It's a super cool movie. If you're a fan of stuff like Pan's Labyrinth from Guillermo del Toro, or like Neverending Story, or old school Tim Burton, where he was doing more practical effects, you'd love this movie. It's just amazing.
I'm so happy for you. And this is huge.
Super excited,
like,
to be a part of it.
I just glanced at it, but y'all like have these huge awards, and y'all having this giant like premiere. Y'all just recently had a premiere, and you guys just got a lot of these awards, and I'm just like, oh my god, like, he's a part of it. Like, congrats. Like, I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's really cool, and it's amazing to see the reaction from the audience. I'm just happy for my brother, you know, because he's been making this movie for 6 or 7 years, and finally it's done. And I mean, I've seen the movie with him 6 or 7 times, and every time it's like he's either bawling his eyes out or he's tearing up, because it's like all of this hard work that he's put in, and he just can't contain himself, all the emotions and everything building up to this moment where he's finally putting it out into the world.
I'm so glad, and props to the props.
It's amazing. I'm so happy for him.
I'm so proud, and I can't wait for y'all to do more movies. Hopefully y'all will do a huge production to where I can see the movie, and I can be like, oh, look at that, I interviewed that guy, he's on the big screen. And I'll be on the opening day, like, I'll be like, and wouldn't that be something if I saw your name in the credits or such, and I was like, oh god, look at that, that's, I remember.
Yeah, my name is in the credits. I have, like, so there was another guy who did the actual score to the movie, but I'm listed as additional music, so you'll see me at the end of the credits. And actually, the song that plays in the end credits, I didn't sing on it, so that was sung by another artist named Lucy Oakes, but I did arrange it and mix it and produce the song. So. And I played drums on it. But, yeah. So you can hear that song at the end of the credits. And like I said, I've got 3 major songs that play throughout the movie.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah. I am so proud of you, and I cannot wait for you to do more movies and more music like that in the future. I would love to see you do bigger productions. Because the biggest thing that would ever happen is seeing you on premiere day, and hopefully you'll remember me by then. Hopefully you'll remember me, and I'll be like, hey, I remember you, hey.
I'm sure that I'll remember you. The only thing is, I don't actually know what you look like. You're like a mysterious figure in the Spotify ether that I know your voice. I know your musical opinions, and I know a lot about you, but I don't actually know what you look like. Are there pictures of you? Can I know what you look like? If I Google Rap It Out Podcast on images, will I see a picture of you or anything?
I will hold a sign with my artist name. I'll wear a mask, and I'll put my name there, and you'll see me. Well, I don't know how COVID will be.
You'll wear a mask too for the premiere.
COVID could be like really big later. I don't know. No.
Like a mask. I thought you were talking about like a Halloween mask. You're talking about like a. Okay, gotcha.
No. I mean like a medical mask or the. Exactly.
Yeah. Like an N19 or something.
Anyway, speaking of the future, I kind of want to know, and I always ask this question because I always want to see what your hopes and dreams are in the future. So I'm not going to ask that question because that's tacky as fuck, but I really want to know, what do you exactly see in the future? What are your plans in the future? What do you have planned going on that we didn't already talk about?
Yeah, so I have a few things cooking. The most, the one that's going to be out the earliest, the next thing in the pipeline, I have another single coming out. I'm shooting for before Christmas, so sometime in December I'll release it. And that's going to be a song called A Hopeless Rebel of Light. And there's going to be a music video for it. There's going to be a B-side. That's going to have a lyric video. So just like we've been talking about, I'm going to promote it the same that I've been. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more refined. I think the music video is going to be better. It's going to be the first music video that I will actually be in, and you'll see me, and I'll be sort of performing with the song in the music video. So that's exciting. And I have a full-length album that I've been working on with the band that I mentioned before. And I've been recording it at Relay Studios here in Columbus with John Findle. And that is tracked. We need to mix it, master it, and then we need to get some kind of promotional strategy together where I'll be releasing, you know, several singles up front, music videos for those. I need to get artwork for those. But I'm shooting for around March, April, like spring of next year to try and get it out and have a full-length record. And that'll solve the problem that we were talking about before, where I've only got 6 songs on Spotify now, hoping to try to have, you know, a full-length 10-song record out by mid-next year. And just keep pumping out music videos, keep pumping out material, content, try to keep people interested in Summon Luke, try to get new shows. We talked about that. That's going to be hopefully before or after I release that single I was talking about December. We'd have shows in Columbus, Ohio, and maybe in the surrounding cities like Cleveland or Cincinnati, we can get a couple shows. So there's very exciting things in the pipeline for Summon Luke. And follow me on Instagram or YouTube, and you'll stay up to date with all things Summon Luke.
Nice.
Shameless plug there.
Anyway, I'm so happy to hear those updates. I am so excited and proud, and I can't wait for your new endeavors. And yeah, I'm so excited for all that going on. I fully support you, and you have me if you need anything. Just putting it out there, you have me and you have my information if you ever need anything or really anything. Just ask me.
That is so awesome. And yeah, likewise, if you ever want to come to Columbus and you need a person that can get you a show here in Columbus, Ohio, I might know a few people who might work out. And
I'm gonna hit you a text if I ever
let me know if you need anything over here too.
But yeah,
that sounds great.
Actually, I kind of forgot to ask this earlier, but your name something like, is that really your real name, Luke, or is it just like a nice favorite name that you have?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is my real name. But I don't know. That's, you know, you're this someone at an open mic, I put the moniker Summon Luke on the list. And they came up to me and they were like, is that really your name? Summon Luke? I was like, no, my name's Luke. But I just put the summon before it. Because it's like you're
so
summoning, cool. When you listen to my music, you're summoning Luke, is kind of how I was thinking about it. And also it plays into the brand, the vibe that I was going for, where it's like kind of an epic, almost Dungeons and Dragons RPG-esque vibe that I want to put forth. And
nice.
That's what I was going for.
And that is so clever. Like, you're a genius. You're so smart. Nah, bro. This is for real. This is coming from me.
Oh, man. You're too nice.
But anyway. Yeah, of course. People say I'm way too nice. They've always said that about me. But I'm just a really regular person that just respects people. That's all. But anyway.
Yeah, you're a very kind person. I mean, like I said, I've listened to several of these podcasts in the past, and you're always very kind, very
I have to be.
Warm,
so I'm not
going to
do it. Who else is going to do it? Besides your family and friends, who else is going to do it? Exactly. But anyway, I just want to say a huge thank you so much for coming here. I am so happy that I got to learn more about you. I think I covered everything about you and everything, so I'm glad I got that straightened out. Yes! I'm sorry about earlier. You guys, today, I don't know if you guys have it too, but today is daylight savings time. Today, daylight savings. I am stuttering. Daylight savings time ended today, November 6th. So today's been a little weird day for me as far as timing and everything. So of course I knew I was going to screw up. But regardless, I hope you had a nice time with me and I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And I hope we get to talk more in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Absolutely.
And, I look forward to hearing more from your podcast in the future.
More and more in the future. So stay tuned. So do you have any last words for the audience? Any last remarks? Any last shout-outs? Anything lastly you would like to tell for, you know, we cut the cord. Get it? Cut the cord? That is funny. I'm calling it.
Nothing else for me. Just, you know, if you're interested, follow me on Instagram or subscribe on YouTube. It would be helping me out. And I also, yeah, just hit me up on Instagram or YouTube. Comment.
Nice.
Send me
nice.
a DM.
Thank you. Everybody, thank you guys so much for watching. He is Summon Luke everywhere you find him. After this, you all will be able to hear the B-side, Hotel Underwater, so get ready for your ears, get ready to listen to a really nice song. I mean, we're all listening to it, and it's really cool. So after this, y'all get a chance to listen to it free of charge. Make sure to check him out on all socials, and again, I'm enjoying Season 3 and all that we have to offer. I'll catch y'all next time. See you on the other side. Peace out. Love y'all. Bye. Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight as we dove into a wonderful podcast episode. Now, in this following segment, you will get a chance to hear this artist's showcase because every artist that comes on the show requires to do a showcase. So buckle up, get some popcorn, and enjoy the showcase. I hope you guys love it and check out the artist when you get a chance to. Hope you guys love it. Enjoy.
Swims naked above room 101. down.